You're listening to Innovation for Alpha, where we explore everything at the intersection of healthcare innovation and finance. Through our discussions and interviews, we keep you informed and educated about healthcare innovations, next-level venture investing, and everything involving the combination of the two.
Hi, everybody. This is Tobin Arthur, your host for Innovation for Alpha. And today, as we head into the end of the year, we've got a very special guest, Brad Watt, who has founded a firm called Petrick Capital Properties that specializes in 1031 exchanges. Brad, I want to welcome you to the show today.
Thanks, Tobin. Pleasure to be here, and thanks for the opportunity.
Well, this is really timely as we're recording this towards the end of 2023. We've been spending a lot of time talking about tax planning and tax optimization, which as people get to the end of the year, they're apt to think about as a part of their broader financial strategy. And real estate as a broad topic is a very big area of interest to our community, which is largely made up of physicians. And so I'm really excited to dive into this broadly, real estate and specifically 1031s. But Brad, before we get into what all of that means and how you focus on that, tell us a little bit about yourself. What's your background?
Sure. I've been in the real estate investment business for a little over 40 years. So I think the commercial goes, I know a thing or two because I've seen a thing or two. during that four-decade history of investment real estate, that includes both public and private real estate investment funds. But in all cases, regardless of the structure of the type of investments we've done with investment real estate, it has always been with a focus on bringing higher quality institutional grade property to the smaller investor and kind of a Wall Street to Main Street, if I can use that analogy, example. And that has allowed us to open up doors and have conversations with what we like to say the millionaire next door investors who have worked a lifetime to accumulate wealth with a handful of properties. It could be land, it could be rental property, it could be other investment property used in their business. And now they're at a stage of life where they've worked for money all their life. Now they need money to work for them. Mm. And so the payoff for us is I call it the finishing life well message, where we can show people how they can convert actively managed property to passive income with multiple streams of passive income from a diversified property portfolio. So my background is investment real estate, but at the end of the day, I like to think that, again, we're adding value to investors by introducing a concept to them that they're not as familiar with, and that is how to take active day-to-day property management. We call it the tenants, trash, and toilets, the three T's of property management, and convert that to lifestyle, passive lifestyle income that can be used for living, for giving, or for legacy.
You know, we'll get again into the 1031 specifically here in a minute, but how did you end up in this particular category, having kind of started in other areas of real estate and migrated to this a number of years ago?
Yeah, I started my career helping companies build real estate investment programs for retail investors, smaller individual investors. But again, my career has been primarily focused on non-traded REITs, real estate investment trusts, 1031 exchange programs, which is what we're going to talk about today, private debt and equity funds related to real estate investing, so what we call limited partnerships or LLCs. So again, my background has been pretty much any type of real estate investment structure or asset class of real estate I've been able to participate in. And it's all been with the idea, again, of bringing a really great piece of real estate or fund of real estate offerings or programs, properties to the individual retail investor to give them that passive income, that monthly passive income that many of these folks never knew was possible because they have worked hard again on their own properties to build that wealth. Now they need to convert that to tax deferred strategies that can help that wealth work for them. So a lot of different structures, a lot of different strategies, but all revolving around investment real estate.
Well, I love that. That's a lot of how AngelMD originally started, was the idea of bringing private alternative investing, or I guess that's redundant, but alternatives, early stage alternatives, and trying to create more of an institutional grade to that, because it tends to be the wild, wild west. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Petra then? Specifically, how did Petra originate, and what's, you know, what's the history of that firm?
Sure. In my sojourn of helping build platforms, real estate investment platforms for other companies, it was clear to me that the missing ingredient with a lot of real estate investing and investing in general, the missing component is education. And I think it's Dave Ramsey who said any investment sale should start with education. And I really do have the heart of an educator, and I try to build our firm around that culture of educating our investors. So as the old saying goes, if you can't, you can't find it, invent it, right? I believe it was Abraham Lincoln who said the best way to predict your future is to invent it.
Right.
So I started Petra Capital Properties about 10 years ago, and with the idea, again, of bringing education, research, and really independent advisory services to investors who wanted to transition from actively managed real estate to passive income using the 1031 exchange structure. So Petra is a boutique real estate investment advisory firm, again, that does focus on 1031 exchanges, but more of a portfolio solution to 1031 exchanges that allows people to almost create their own personalized portfolio of multi-assets, multi-strategies, and multi-geographies, and be able to access our database and put all those different property attribution types together, or those program types needs, and build their own portfolios using our platform. So it's a very customized and personalized solution that we've brought our clients.
I want to unpack that in a minute, but one last thing on Petra. I've seen in a number of places you referenced the firm as a mission-driven organization. Can you explain a little bit about what that means to you?
Yeah, it's pretty simple. We try to live by the philosophy of doing well by doing good. And our biggest, frankly, intrinsic payoff in terms of our success, how we measure our success, is helping investors finish life well. So many investors, particularly older investors, are truly worried about healthcare needs, retirement, all of the aspects of aging, right? And one of the biggest, I think, value components that we've been able to bring investors is a simple but yet elegant solution to helping them establish durable and sustainable and hopefully predictable income for their future lifestyle needs. And again, that's all based around a passive income strategy that we've built. So mission focus for us is preserving capital and protecting income. We sound like the fire department or the police department, but our goal is to preserve the capital and protect the income of these investors because they have worked a lifetime to accumulate it. It just takes one bad outcome to lose it all. So we are very focused on making sure that our portfolios are built to last for our investors.
So we're going to get a little bit into those specifics, but let's go back up a level for people who are hearing, this buzzword of 1031. Many of our listeners will be familiar with that concept, but for those that aren't, why don't you give that high level description of what a 1031 exchange is?
Yeah, about a little over 100 years ago, the IRS passed a rule or a law that said that anybody who owns investment property that is held for investment purposes, in other words, you're holding it for gain and you're hopefully going to invest in that property over time and you're going to own it for a period of time. So any investment property that's been held and or used in an active trader business qualifies as a 1031 tax-deferred exchange. And again, tax-deferred exchange is simply stated, if you sell a property that fits into that category of held for investment purposes or used in an active trader business, you can sell the property for no gain, provided you reinvest those proceeds into another property. And again, it's we talk about like-kind. That really means investment property for investment property. It does not mean land for land or apartments for apartments. So given our strategy, we can invest, take folks out of any type of property they've owned that fits in those categories and invest them into a multi-asset, multi sector real estate portfolio. It gives them exposure to multiple asset classes and with multiple managers, almost like you would think about a mutual fund of real estate, only with a 1031 exchange wrapper around it, tax deferral wrapper. So 1031 exchange has been around a little over 100 years. It's simply allowing investors to sell property tax deferred and reinvest.
So sometimes I find it easier to understand a concept in two ways. One, let's maybe touch on what it is not. So what kind of real estate does not fall into this category? And then secondly, maybe walk through just one example of what that would look like for a client on the here's where I started and here's what that exchange looked like, to give us an example.
Sure. Property that doesn't qualify would be your personal residence example. Again, these are properties that are rental property, land, again, properties used in an active trade or a business. So primary residential owner-occupied properties do not qualify. Real or personal property doesn't qualify.
How about if it's my medical building? I'm a physician and I own my building.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely qualifies. You use it in as part of your business practice, and you maybe own it in a separate LLC that leases to the medical practice, which is typical. You would kind of put some liability protection in between and also some additional tax advantages for doing that. And so, yes, absolutely. Any property that's used in a business, that does qualify.
Okay, good. And so let's maybe use that as the example. So I'm a surgeon and my partners and I own our building. I'm getting close to retirement and I'd like to convert this building that has increased in value. And so that asset has grown. And now you're telling me I can convert this into cash flow potentially with some tax advantages. Tell me a little bit more about how that works and what that takes.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of these folks that we talk to have owned their properties for 15, 20, 25 years and have depreciated them down to pretty much nothing. So they have a very, very low, what's called the investment basis. And it is extremely low. So when they sell, the properties are highly appreciated. They have a lot of embedded taxable gain. And that's where the 1031 exchange comes in to allow them to defer that gain. So typically speaking, an investor would sell a property, highly appreciated, defer all of those taxes, which includes federal capital gain, state capital gain taxes, and or ordinary taxes. Some states don't differentiate between the two. You have your recapture tax, which is a 25%. It's kind of called the hidden tax. A lot of people don't know about recapture, but the difference between your cost basis and your depreciation basis, or what's called the adjusted cost basis, you're going to pay a 25% tax rate on that portion. That's called recapture tax. And then, of course, you've got your Medicare tax, your 3.8. So when you add up all the tax rates across the platform, federal, state, local, Medicare, and recapture, your blended tax rate in some states could be as high as 40-45%, particularly California. So think about it. You've got a property that's been depreciated down to practically nothing. You're selling it for $1 million. Let's pick that number because it's easy to work with round numbers.
Yep.
And you may be writing a check to Uncle Sam for $400,000. Mm. That's a permanent capital loss. But what investors fail to remember, it's not just a one-time loss on writing the check to the government, which, by the way, our goal should be to disinherit the government, not inherit them as our partner. Mm. But not only are they losing their capital, they're losing the future compounded earning potential on that capital. Yeah. So it's really, and think about it, in baseball, it's called a double play or a two base out. You've lost your capital and you've lost the future compounding value of that money. If you're going to live another 20, 25 years, which actuarially speaking, many of us will in our 60s, that's a lot of earning power to forfeit. It could be three times in terms of your future value, what you paid in taxes. That's significant money that people will need at that latter stage of life.
That's a great point. So we sell this property that's $1 million. And now I've got $1 million sitting in an account at the moment. How does Petra come in?
You hit the nail on the head there. You cannot take constructive receipt in a 1031 exchange. You must deposit the money with effectively an escrow company or title company. They operate under the name of a qualified intermediary. They're normally associated with the title company, but there is a designation by the IRS that says you cannot take constructive receipt of your proceeds when you sell. So it's very important that people open up this qualified intermediary or QI account. They're also called an exchange accommodator for 1031 exchanges. So once that money gets deposited with that qualified intermediary from the closing, so comes from the title company to the QI, and again, they can be one and the same, that money sits there. Now, this is where the interesting perilous part can come in. The IRS does have some very specific impositions or requirements relative to what you can do with your money, as well as the time frame you can do it with.
That's a big surprise.
The IRS says you got 45 days to identify your replacement property.
Okay.
Remember, the property you're selling, for definitional terms, is called the relinquished property. The properties you will be buying are called the replacement property.
Okay.
The IRS gives you 45 days to identify the replacement property or properties, because you can't identify multiple properties. And there's a couple of exchange rules. I don't want to get too deep in the weeds here. But you have that 45 days. You have 180 days to close. So just to be clear, the first 45 days of your 180-day window is for the identification purposes. The balance of that time is to close. And so that's where a lot of investors kind of underestimate the 1031 exchange process, is they'll sell a property and they won't be fully prepared to identify, underwrite, do all the due diligence. In 45 days, that's where a turnkey solution with pre-existing properties and cash flow can simplify that identification process. And that's where Petra comes in, because we can show clients existing properties that they can own fractional interest in across multiple sectors, multiple strategies, multiple geographies, and be able to assemble a diversified portfolio on a ready close basis. So we can ID and close usually within 5 days.
Oh, wow.
Has closed on their property. So what we offer the client is immediate identification and certainty of close. And those are big deals when you're dealing with that 45-day window.
That sounds like it. I'm curious if on that 45-day window, if you identified, let's just say for simplicity reasons, property X, and then for whatever reason, you determine later you're more interested in property Y, are you able to shift, or is that 45-day window, it's from start to finish, you've got 45 days, there's no sort of restarting that timeline?
You have to identify everything you plan to purchase inside that 45-day window. You can identify multiple properties so that you can alternate between the property you ultimately purchase. So you can give yourself contingency or backups, if you will, inside your identification.
Let's talk a little bit about what differentiates Petra from other firms doing this. A lot of firms and a lot of resources for 1031s, I'm assuming. It's been around a long time. You just mentioned one, which is you've got, pre-packaged properties and, for the portfolio that are already pre-vetted. But kind of walk us through, the unique attributes of Petra relative to others maybe in the market. And then maybe the opposite of what you would, look to avoid in determining 1031 options.
Sure. I think if I can summarize how we think about a 1031 exchange. Our philosophy is that a 1031 exchange is an investment strategy first and a tax strategy second. Mm-hmm. Whatever you do, you should never get those out of order. Mm. I think for a lot of folks in our space, the focus is always, I got to defer tax. That's the value proposition, if you will, to the investor.
Yeah.
Our mantra is, We got to preserve your capital. So back to my story earlier of preserving capital and protecting income. So we are very much a real estate fundamentals focused firm. We're going to do a bottom-up underwriting on all of the 1031 exchange properties that fall into this, what we call Delaware Statutory Trust, or DST for short. That's simply a legal wrapper that goes around a 1031 exchange property that allows for co-ownership or fractional ownership. And we have access to probably 50 to 60 of these Delaware statutory trust 1031 qualified offerings. Each of those has a sponsor company, an investment manager that brings those programs to the market.
Okay.
And so what we do is we've developed an underwriting program. It's a proprietary model that basically goes through and evaluates the managers and the assets behind each of these. And then we put a scoring model together, or a quality rating, around each program. So our view of this is we take a much more of a planning approach versus just a straight investment to try to resolve the tax problem. We look at it more like this is a chance for you to diversify. You've owned one or two properties and you've concentrated for wealth. For most people, they own one or two. They built it up over the years. They have concentrated for wealth. Now's a chance to diversify for safety. So our ability to bring these multiple properties with multiple strategies and multiple managers together in one database and allow the client to go in and actually construct a portfolio that matches their specific risk tolerance, yield requirements, and investment objectives. And I might add estate planning objectives, because the kids are going to be the beneficiaries of these programs down the road for these assets. We put all of those features together in one platform and allow the investor to have the architecture of choice. That's how I would say we differentiate ourselves, is we've empowered investors with the education and the research to make informed decisions about their portfolios.
So I want to come back on the, I have a tax question in a moment, but let's walk out an example to highlight, I think, what you were just sharing. So using our example of $1 million property. So to your point, maybe I had concentrated, value in a particular property. I've now sold it. I'm sitting on $1 million. And my interest isn't to have this asset because now I need cash flow. I'm going to be, I'm getting to retirement. And so I need to replace my income as a physician, for example. And, maybe at some point I've got some elder care cost needs, et cetera. So let's say my particular objectives is I estimate that I can live comfortably with a 5% return on that money in perpetuity. And so what you're telling me is we can now take what was once sitting in a single asset, a single property, and now I can take that capital and maybe we look at this, the portfolio that you've created of these 50 different programs, and we mix and match and say, now we can place this in three different programs, each with a little bit of a different risk return threshold, but with the goal of getting to that 5% objective with a comfortable safety margin or beta, as we might call it. Is that sort of an accurate how I go from the one to the three as one example?
Yeah, you read the playbook.
Okay.
It did a great job of reading it. Our job is to execute on the playbook, but you absolutely read it correctly. That is absolutely, in a nutshell, single property ownership in many cases. And look, it can be a client who owns a portfolio of single family rental properties or a duplex or several duplexes or fourplexes or maybe a handful of car washes or other types of single tenant properties that they may manage or own. So at any point, you can go from single property or multi-property type of structure. But the key is you're going to be able to diversify that into probably even a more broadly diversified portfolio with sectors that you aren't represented with. For example, we can combine Class A multifamily with Amazon distribution facilities or self-storage facilities or medical and healthcare facilities, life sciences buildings, for example, which would probably be an affinity asset, if I can call it that, for your listening audience. Mm-hmm. So medical, healthcare, self-storage, industrial, multifamily, seniors housing, all of these different what we call institutional asset classes are now made available to individual investors under this Delaware statutory trust structure. So when we're done, our portfolios are going to look much like, and they're not a REIT. We do not qualify. 1031s do not qualify for REIT investments. There is a way to get your money into a REIT on a tax-deferred basis using a Delaware statutory trust, but I won't get into the weeds on that unless you want me to go there. But think about the Delaware statutory trust or the wrapper we put around these portfolios looking more like a REIT, a real estate investment trust, where the investor is way more diversified, but with the additional advantage of a 1031 tax deferral wrapper around the structure.
So no, that's REIT, great. I think the REIT discussion we can save for another day. I think that is an interesting one in its own right, but your point's very well taken that we've got the attributes of a REIT. I almost think of it as almost like it's a real estate mutual fund where I've got some diversification in this. Yep. The tax question I had is this. So I've deferred, and your point earlier was very well taken, which is investment first, tax second, because if the investment doesn't make sense, then the tax deferral makes no sense. I've deferred money on something that's a loser.
You've been better off to pay your taxes.
That's right.
And invest in something else.
Right. So let's say in the example that you gave, you know, I live in California and the stack of tax is going to be 40% ballpark. And so I've deferred that. Now I have not eliminated that. How does the deferral work? So now I'm sitting on this portfolio that's going to, you know, ride into perpetuity. At what point is that tax come home to roost? Is it after I die and it's my estate pays it, or how does that work?
Yeah, there's you absolutely have the optionality, if you will, of when you pay taxes during your 1031 exchange process. Some people choose for legacy planning and wealth transfer purposes, they want to defer and defer and defer. So they're going to roll over several properties over the lifetime to be able to defer those taxes, which of course, they each time that they have gain, those deferrals get larger and larger and larger.
Yeah.
And they're going to pass those assets on to their heirs or the beneficiaries. And some of that can include even philanthropy or planned giving, where they're giving some of that to a charity potentially. So there's a way to incorporate philanthropy into your 1031 exchanges, which is important to people at stage of life. We're dealing with folks that already are very charitable in many ways, and they want to give more. And they can do that through their 1031 exchange deferral. But the point is, to your point, yes, the kids would be the beneficiary, or the beneficiaries would be able to inherit that portfolio of Delaware statutory trust properties that are cash flowing at the time, and be able to get what's called a stepped up basis. And so when those sell, eventually, those kids or whomever the beneficiaries are would not have to pay any tax or very little during the holding period that they had, because they would have gotten that ability to step up the basis and wipe out all of the previous capital gains. So there is a way to go from tax deferral to tax elimination. The problem is you have to have expiration somewhere in there as well.
Okay. So let's come back to the starting point a little bit, in the sense that I'm getting an idea of who the prime audience is, mm-hmm. but why don't you just give us very specifically, these are the types of people that should be thinking about this as a strategy. And then as a part of that, even though you guys can work pretty quickly because you've got the formula all set up, I'm guessing it also makes, you know, it generally, as most things, makes sense to do some pre-planning. So if I'm thinking about selling a property in the next couple of years, I don't need to wait till I've actually sold it to worry about this. I should be working with you in advance to think about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Prior planning prevents poor performance, I think, is the five P's. So it's always better to get out in front and start the planning process. That said, a lot of clients, sometimes, in of course, up until last year or so, it was a bidding war for properties, right? And so people were getting unsolicited offers. So a lot of times they were selling property before they had a full vision or view of what they were going to replace. Right. That's where our program comes in to really focus, if you will, and has an advantage over a direct owned property, where you have to go out and do that 45 days due diligence and underwriting and inspections and all those things that can tie up. 45 days goes pretty quick when you're doing your property due diligence. So having this turnkey, pre-structured solution that's cash flowing, that has multiple assets and multiple sectors that we can assemble quickly and efficiently in a portfolio, it really does. It's a game changer for investors. They don't need quite as much planning time, because we can assemble these properties and these portfolios so quickly. But that said, most people won't sell till they know what they're going to buy. It's very important that we start with know your end before you begin, I think Stephen Covey said. So we want to make sure people know what they can buy and sample and show some sample portfolios of how we can diversify, and the income streams and the safety factor that we build into these portfolios. Begin to demonstrate that and really earn trust. I would say the biggest thing we have to do as an investment firm is earn trust of our investors. People are giving millions of dollars to folks they've never met to buy property they may never see. It's a huge trust quotient, and we don't underestimate that. So the more time we can spend with a client building the relationship, understanding their investment DNA, if you will, as far as their risk tolerance, their investment objectives, their estate planning needs, their cash flow targets. If we can get that information earlier than later, we can build a much more comprehensive and cogent portfolio that matches their needs and their demands. So yeah, planning is an important aspect, but we can also respond to a 911, 1031 when somebody's in that 45th day or 44th day and their direct property purchase blows up, we get a lot of those calls, and we have never, ever lost a taxpayer yet.
Oh, we love it.
Voluntary taxpayer. We have saved a lot of people millions of dollars in taxes because we've been able to respond so quickly to a 911 1031.
Well, that's pretty neat. Can you bookend this a little bit for us? What is sort of the starting point or the small end of the scale where somebody should be thinking about this as a strategy? To what extent is there sort of a practical high end, if that even exists? And then maybe what's the sweet spot? What is your, you know, kind of average type of client in a given week?
Sure. Well, I start with the macro view that according to recent estimates, individual investors, and of course these skew older, right? Typically 55 and above,
yeah,
because that's where the wealth is concentrated right now with mostly the baby boomers. But about 60% of all rental property in this country, that's single family and multifamily, is owned by individual investors. In many cases, actively managed by those investors as well. If you can believe trying to manage property in your 60s and 70s.
Wow.
We call that the tenants, trash, and toilets. And that is not something people want to be doing at that stage of life. So, about $6 trillion of investment real estate is held in the hands of these individual investors. And that could be rental properties, land, raw land, which could be used in farming and ranching. So these are all the properties that are fitting into that $6 trillion. Average investor to us presents with probably $1.2 million to $1.4 million in terms of their exchange value. We've done exchanges all the way up to $60 million. And again, back to this REIT-like portfolio, you can imagine what we were able to build with $60 million. But our average investor is closer to $1 million. And that what we call is more the millionaire next door. That's the teacher, the fireman, the nurse, that's been able to cobble together a lot of their W-2 income over the years and buy a handful of rental properties. And again, now they're at a point in life where they want to retire from being a landlord, but they don't want to pay their taxes. And they want to convert from active property management to passive portfolio income. And that's the transition. So I would say our average is about $1.2 million, but we take minimums all the way down to 100,000 in these programs. So it's not like we can't accommodate just about any scale of investor.
That's great. Well, Brad, this is a good starting point. Really appreciate your time and your thoughts on this. And for anybody who has, has real estate, sitting on real estate and has questions, I assume they can connect with you. We'll provide contact information for Brad and his firm in the show notes. But we would love for anybody who's thinking about 1031s to reach out to Petra Capital Properties and Brad and get your questions answered, because this is a terrific part of any wealth management strategy and real estate specifically. So, Brad, thanks so much for giving us that overview and for your time.
Thank you so much, Tobin. Appreciate the opportunity. And yeah, we've taken a complex investment and turned it into a very simple process. And I think people will appreciate that. So thank you.
See you again soon for the next episode of Innovation for Alpha. Make sure to go to Innovation for Alpha for access to prior episode links, show notes, and other valuable resources. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any investment decisions, please consult with a professional. This show is copyrighted by Angel Indie Media, and written permission must be granted before syndication or rebroadcasting.